Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Ogleseth.
We have an update for you from our friends from LAMP. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Stephen Shave is the Executive Director of LAMP. Welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be with you always.
It was about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer, that you presented a challenge to our listeners for LAMP. And before we talk about that challenge, remind us what LAMP is.
Absolutely. So we are Lutheran Association of Missionaries and Pilots. We are known for doing fly-in mission trips to remote indigenous reserves in northern Canada. So you can't get there. If you've ever watched Ice Road Truckers, you know the places we're talking about. We do lots of hatchet story times with schools because the book Hatchet is well known in our Lutheran schools for taking place in these wilderness places, and the little boy in the story has to survive in these places. So we're talking about way far out there, hard to get to places, but we bring the gospel to the ends of the earth.
And you presented a challenge last year. Tell us, remind us about that challenge.
Absolutely. So LAMP started in 1970. It was the vision of Reverend Les Stalky, who was a pastor and a pilot. And he flew into these remote indigenous communities, and he started to spread the gospel. And his dream was to bring other people along to volunteer. So primarily what LAMP is known for, is doing these mission trips up north with our volunteers, and that started 55 years ago. But as you can imagine, 1970 means our 50th anniversary was in 2020, and so that was a very subdued recognition of a big event. So our board of directors said, we want to do something special still, and so they made a challenge of, for our 55th anniversary in 2025, let's make 55 in-person visits. And so your show was the show where we rolled that out. We made the first announcement that we were going to try to meet that goal of making 55 in-person visits to our indigenous communities up north.
And what has happened with that challenge? Really need to know.
Drum roll, please.
All right.
Drum roll, please. Yes, we did meet our challenge.
Hey.
We actually exceeded. It was wonderful that we were able to make 65 visits in 2025 for our 55th anniversary. Our founder, Les Stalky, died in March, and it was just a joy for us to tell him, hey, Les, it looks like we're going to be able to do it. Your dream come true. And so we were super excited when we met that milestone. And for us, it's not about the numbers. It's not a metric that we care that much about. It's about the relationships, because we know that for every in-person visit that we make is another important foundational relationship built with these communities. So that's why it was so special for us that Les could start with just going and knocking on a log cabin somewhere in the middle of nowhere to 55 communities that we can reach with the gospel.
How much of an increase is that? Like, how many communities do you normally make? How many trips do you normally make a year?
Yeah, well, I should say, just kind of where this started, in 2020, we had one visit.
Oof,
2020,
yeah.
There was one trip that we could make. So we really felt like we were starting over, because then you had the COVID quarantines, and all we could do is bring supplies, fly up to the gravel airstrip, drop off some supplies, and go back home. So we weren't sure coming back, what our momentum would look like. And so right before we set the goal, we were still kind of mid 40s. And it was a stretch because, we had a lot of our teams, as you can imagine, they weren't prepared through the COVID years to keep, making sure they had the volunteers in place to make a mission trip possible. But yeah, we were just very blessed that everything kind of fell together, and we were able to, between our missionaries working with our congregations that send teams, that we were able to meet that goal.
What happens in those face-to-face visits? What do those look like?
Yeah, so, it's kind of exciting for us. When we get off the plane, you get off that gravel landing strip, there's already a welcoming party, because they're out in these super alienated remote locations, so they're excited to have visitors. And so you get off the plane and, you're going to have a little parade. A little parade of little kids following behind you, and then their dogs, they don't keep their dogs domesticated inside. Their dogs are outside. So the dogs are always out with us. And then, the moms are there, and we're all walking into town together, and it's always exciting. And then the first thing that happens is you want to get the word out that the team made it. We're here. We're going to do Vacation Bible School this week. And you go to either the band office, which is the tribal leaders, and you meet with them. And It's always great because so many of them are, you know, they're the only reason we can go is because it's their invitation. Mm-hmm. And they literally beg us, please come back next year. It means so much to our kids. When you come to town, joy and happiness just comes with you. So please come back. So we make sure that we stop in first, let them know we made it, help to get the word out. So they have either radio stations or maybe a little closed circuit TV. I mean, it's funny. Sometimes you come into a studio like this and there's just a camera on and you just say, hey, the LAMP team's here. And you're on their television set. It's really kind of a funny thing. You try not to let that celebrity status go to your head that you're on every TV in town. Yeah, so you meet with the band office. You pray with them. They will always sit down and they allow us to pray with them, which is super special. And a lot of them that are tribal leaders now are LAMP kids that grew up with LAMP. And then you get yourself on the radio or the newspaper or in the store, whatever it takes to get the word out that the team made it and we're going to have our vacation Bible school. And then from there, you know, Monday through Friday, you're doing your vacation Bible school with the kids. And that's never enough. It's never enough. The teenagers are all hanging around just waiting to see. And, you know, so then you got to have your teen youth night and play hockey or volleyball or whatever it is. And so we always have some kind of a teen event. And if you're lucky, if you've been doing it for a few years, you're going to get invited to the ladies' tea and you're going to hang out with the ladies. If you're super lucky and you're one of the dudes, you might get invited to go on a fishing trip or go on a hunt with them. So that's one of the, when you know you've made it, when they offer you elk or moose or a super special fish that you can only get, you know, up in British Columbia or a special oil that they have that you can, when they give you those gifts, you know, we have arrived. We have made it. But that's kind of the typical week-long event that takes place and connecting, again, the whole community across pretty much every demographic, you're going to find a way to minister to people. And a lot of times it's grief counseling. You know, they don't have a lot of pastoral care and, you know, there's been some sort of pastoral need that's there. And so as a pastor, it's always great for me to be able to be with the people and sit with them, you know, and to just minister to folks. So, yeah, it's great.
Sounds so great.
Yeah. It's special. It's super special. Yeah. We are not your typical volunteer, you know, go and build a well or something, take a selfie and leave. You know, we are a lifetime commitment to these communities. 55 years now. We get invited back because we are there for the people year after year. And when the kids, you start packing up your gear, the first thing they're going to ask you is, when are you coming back? And they want to know that they're going to see you again. And that's the only reason they open up their hearts to you is because you're not just there for the day. You're there in their life and stay connected to them. President Harrison just posted something on Facebook the other day about people that when he was on, imagine this is a couple years ago, he was on his vicarage and he still has people in his community that when he was serving with LAMP that still reach out to him. And he still has those relationships and connections. So these are lifelong, amazing relationships that we have.
Yeah, it's really incredible that relationship building that happens mm-hmm. between the LAMP volunteers and the people that they go to serve. That yeah. is really amazing.
And we talked about how hard it is for us to get up there. We've had times where our volunteers die here in the States, and they will send a team of people from their tribe down to their funeral service.
Wow.
That's how important. They tell you, why did you come? It's because that's what we do for family.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What are the preparations? What happens here for volunteers to be able to go on these trips? I'm sure doing 65 trips took a lot of logistics and preparation.
Yes, for sure. For sure. You're talking about your typical vacation Bible school that you're used to seeing in your churches, but making that happen in the middle of nowhere, you know, across the lakes. So yeah, there's a lot of logistics that go into getting everybody up there. We do have Indigenous airlines that we work with directly to do charter flights. And if it takes a float plane or if a ferry is necessary, we make all the arrangements. We make sure that they have a place to stay. Usually the teachers are only there during the school year, so the teachers' homes are available to our mission trip volunteers. And then also getting all of their supplies, you know, their crafts and things. They can usually find some things when they get up north, but a lot of it requires us getting their gear up with them. So yeah, a lot goes into that and just making sure that all the connections are made and everybody has a trip. We just do a lot of that upfront work, yeah.
Any challenges you faced in making these 65 visits?
This year was a year unlike any other. We were literally flying blind the entire summer. I'm sure that you heard about the wildfires.
Right.
I personally spent a lot of time in Manitoba, and it seemed like the only thing not on fire in Manitoba was the corridor that I was driving up and down from Winnipeg up north. And so everything around us just seemed to be on fire. So we literally had to fly using, thanks to the LWML ladies, they gave us the instrumentation that we needed to be able to fly blind. But we literally were flying blind until we would get to our destination. And then thank God that you could see the landing strip and land on that little gravel runway. Unfortunately, there was a few mission teams that couldn't make it. So we did have a few that we had to delay. And it was very good, though, to see how quickly they would adapt. So we literally would have an entire community get uprooted and sent to a big city like Winnipeg, Manitoba. But our mission teams figured out a way to find them and to do vacation Bible school at the school or the college or wherever the entire community had been displaced to, basically in exile. And you can imagine these kids in this place, it's a foreign place. They don't know anybody. They don't know anything about where they're at. And then they see this friendly face that they've known for years. They're doing VBS with them. And so that's what made it so special this year was, even despite some of the worst flying conditions we've ever had, and the number of fires was historic for us at LAMP, we still found a way to do ministry. And our volunteers stepped up and they really made a difference. It was great.
Yeah, those fires were, those were something.
It was crazy.
Oh, man.
It was a really, really crazy summer.
Yeah. Now you mentioned LWML. What other partnerships? Are there new partnerships happening with you?
Yeah. So the ladies from the beginning of LAMPS, you know, our first plane was because of the LWML. I have to put that out there first. And we are so thankful for them. But we did try to explore some new ways to get volunteers, especially this year, wanting to meet that goal. And so for the first time, we usually work with sending congregations that commit to 5 years, but we actually spoke to Orange Lutheran High School because we had heard that their kids do quite a few mission trips and they've never been to Canada. And so they're not that far away from British Columbia either. And so they were willing to send a group of their students to the middle of nowhere island, like as remote as you can imagine, out there off of British Columbia, and didn't know a thing, but they jumped right into it. We had two major community tragedies that took place, and they weren't even sure if they could do their VBS, but they just literally went door to door, not knowing a single soul there, and asked if they could pray with them. And you would be amazed. I was there. You would be amazed how many people greeted them, welcomed them in, and said prayers with our kids. And so that's unusual for us to have high school students on a mission trip like that, but it just, I couldn't have asked for a better group that dove right in and did a phenomenal job. And then they did get children that came to their VBS. And so that was kind of one of those first contact mission trips because we hadn't been there in quite a few years. The thing that warmed my heart was that even though we hadn't been there in a few years, they still had our LAMP poster up at the location that we were using to do our VBS. So that was special that they still kept us in their hearts and kind of led us by the Spirit to get back up there. And then another unusual thing is for us to partner with another mission organization. So Most Ministry, who's out of Michigan, just like LAMP is, we had talked to them a few times because they send teams and they'd never been to Canada. They're known more for doing eyeglass clinics than they are doing gospel-centric ministries. And so it just seemed like a really good fit. And so I was at that location as well. We went to Grand Rapids, Manitoba. And same thing, we weren't sure, you know, how everything was going to go because it's kind of a first contact thing. We haven't had a team up there in a really long time and everything fell into place. It was a little, you know, a little bump in the road here and there, but, you know, I was there to make sure that everything got smoothed out. And same thing, literally the day before we were going to do our VBS with the kids, we hadn't even really been able to announce our location because we didn't know it yet. But somehow a huge group of kids showed up at our location on time, even though we really hadn't advertised where we were going to be. And that is just how things go with LAMP. God is so good to us. If he wants it to happen, he's going to make it happen. And then the number of kids grew every single day that the Most Ministry team was there until that Friday. So that was another amazing partnership that God really, you know, his hand was at work for sure. And then the third thing I would mention is that one of the main, we are an LSO of Lutheran Church Canada, just like we are an RSO of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And the Lutheran Church Canada has a major objective now for their mission work to do Indigenous ministry. Mm-hmm. They really haven't had a lot of success in that area, but they recognize LAMP as being kind of the table setter for long-term sustained ministry in these communities. We have those connections. We have those doors that are open. We have the subject matter expertise in doing this kind of ministry. So just like we have the 4Os around the world, we were able to have something like that between the LCMS, the Lutheran Church Canada, LAMP, and a sister organization, BC Mission Boats, and also Lutheran Church Canada, their Bible translator group was there too, because we've been working with them in partnership in finding locations where they can translate into Indigenous languages. But through this 4O meeting, it was really a great opportunity for us to talk about our shared vision and mission for long sustained ministry in the communities that we serve. You know, LAMP played a pivotal role in that because, again, you can't just show up at these places. You have to have, you know, a generational kind of connection. And that's what we have. So the door is usually open to us. So it was a great opportunity for us to be in that partnership and really looking forward to see how that goes. And again, President Harris, and I saw him give LAMP kudos about, hey, let's go plant some churches. And we want to be a part of helping Lutheran Church Canada to meet that goal.
How can we follow what's going on with LAMP and keep up with what's happening in the future?
Yeah, for sure. Make sure you check us out either on Facebook at LAMP Ministry, or you can go to our website at lampministry.org. And we would love to connect with you and maybe find ways that you can be a part of what we're doing up north.
LAMPministry.org. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Stephen Shave, Executive Director of LAMP. Thank you so much for joining us on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you for having me. It was great to be with you again.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
The Concordia University System is comprised of five universities of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Located across the United States, the universities offer more than 160 undergraduate and 50 graduate programs and approach learning from a Lutheran context with the goal of developing Christian leaders for the church, community, and the world. Learn more about your Concordia University System at cus.edu. The Concordia University System, education built on God's Word. cus.edu.